Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 214, Recognize the Authentic. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on Sunday, September 19th, 2021 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can stand before you in repentance. We can stand before you and allow your grace to be sufficient for us, your power to be made perfect in those areas that we're weak. And we ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would just manifest yourself strong on our behalf, as you promised in your word. Lord, that those places that need to be corrected, those places that need to be changed, those places that need to be altered, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit you will come in and just move in our hearts and move in our lives in such a way that we can make the correction and make the turn and come back in correction, Father. Throughout your word, you called people to repentance. You called them to turn back to you. And you said when they turn back to you, that you will turn back to them. When we draw near to you, Lord, you promised that you would draw near to us. And Lord, we're longing for your presence. We're longing for the presence of your Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and move in our lives and move in our homes and our families, and especially to move across our nation, Father. We're so grateful for all that you've done in the past, but we're so looking forward to the future that we have with you. And Father, we can only have that future with you as we humble ourselves before you, before your mighty hand, so that we can be lifted up in season, Lord. And so thank you, Jesus, for what you did at the cross, for the price that you paid, so that we could walk in repentance and walk in life and walk in love with each other, Father, and have the compassion that you've designed for us to have, that you've downloaded into our hearts. Because your word says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Father God, for manifesting that in us today, for giving us your victory, the victory that you won at the cross, Lord Jesus, and for lifting us up today in a special way. We're thankful and we're grateful in Jesus' name. So let's just pray in the Spirit for just a little bit. Just let the Holy Spirit give words to you, to your heart. Riba kari digo soka mahanda bakachikariro stara kambari pare kiri dito do basanka mahanda la 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 baha. Riba kandi ko stali basanda mashiri dito kisala la 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 mahanta la baha. Shikabra mahata da dito do bahata da baha. Let the life of God flow through you this morning. Shikobru kuri digo sikika makanta da dito kachikambra maha. Let his special precious anointing touch your heart and touch your life this morning. Let his grace and his favor flood your life this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For you are great and greatly to be praised. In the beauty of holiness, Lord, we lift up your name. Because you said when you're lifted up, all men will be drawn unto you. So, Lord, we lift you up this morning. We lift up the name of Jesus over our city, over our state, over our nation, Father. We lift the name of Jesus over our homes, over our families, over our loved ones, Father. We lift the name of Jesus over this church family today, Father God. Let your grace and your favor fall like fresh breath, a fresh rain, Lord, in the springtime. We thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Hallelujah. So God indeed is good. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be back with you today. So maybe at the end of the service, we'll talk a little bit about our trip. I don't know. It was good. Praise the Lord. This morning, I want to speak to you. I want to speak to our friends on Facebook and YouTube as well. I want to welcome you in Jesus' name. God is an awesome God, and he has some good things for you today. But I want to speak to you today about the recognizing the authentic. So since the time of Jesus, tradition and sometimes religious practices, religious rituals have displaced the move of the Holy Spirit. And it's sort of left up to the believers to recognize the difference between the authentic and the counterfeit. Because you have to be discerning. There's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of places that you can receive ministry, and there's a lot of stuff out there. So you have to be wise, not only wise, but you have to be just flowing in the Holy Spirit and allow Him to speak to you, allow Him to minister to you, and so that you can recognize the authentic from the counterfeit. Praise the Lord. So God doesn't want us to be fooled by anything that's going by. And He doesn't want us, neither does He want us to miss out on what His Holy Spirit is doing in our time and in our day. We should be wanting to find out where the Holy Spirit is moving and getting in the middle of it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. On the day of Pentecost, the one in the book of Acts, I mean, there's Pentecost comes every year. If you're familiar with the Israelis and with the practices and the festivals, Pentecost comes. It's a day that's in the Jewish calendar. So, but this one I'm talking about is the Acts chapter 2 day of Pentecost. And on that day, Peter recounted an Old Testament prediction, a prophecy. In verse 16 of Acts chapter 2, it says, this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Peter is beginning his Pentecost sermon as we know it. And he said, in the last days it shall be as God declares that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male and female servants in those days I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Speaking of an amazing time, right? And you recognize and you notice that Peter was talking about the last days. So if they were entering the last days a couple of thousand years ago, we should surely be closer to the last days. Amen? So we shouldn't have any questions about that. And then seeing the signs of things that are going on around us, all around the world, all over the world, we should be recognizing that, you know, Jesus is coming back, and it's a lot sooner than it was then. So if it was soon for them, it's even sooner for us, and we don't want to miss anything that God has for us. But you notice from that prediction, from that prophecy, that one of the things that Peter was speaking about, and he was actually quoting the book of Isaiah, was that there would be wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth below. Wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below. So that means some things that are perhaps unexplainable, maybe unpredictable, are going on. Sometimes easy to recognize, sometimes maybe not so easy to recognize. Signs and wonders. A wonder is I wonder what that was. I wonder what's that's about. I wonder what that means. That would be a wonder. A sign would be maybe something that was predicted, and you begin to recognize this is a sign. You know, when you come up to the stop sign, it means stop. When you come to the yield sign, it means yield. So you know about signs just from the traffic, right? So we're supposed to be able to discern the wonders and follow the signs, right? So you know, we've had eclipses of the sun, and we've had the blood moons and so forth and so on, and we've heard probably some of the prophecies and some of the prophetic books that have been written about those kinds of signs and wonders, and you know, those are prophetic voices from our day. And so we can take note of that, and we can learn from that, and we can grow from that. So then the writer of the book of Hebrews, he was addressing the issue that sometimes people drift off course. And this is from Hebrews chapter 2. Just to provide some context, he says in verse 1, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. And then he warns against drifting. But in verse 3, he says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So look at that verse 4 again. It says that God bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So there's a couple of things you could talk about there. One is that the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit are only according to the will of God. So we're supposed to desire the best gifts. We're supposed to, you know, covet them, even the Bible says. That's the only place covetousness is spoken about in a good way, because otherwise covetousness is not approved. And in fact, the Bible says, thou shalt not covet. It's in the Ten Commandments, right? So if you've reviewed the Ten Commandments lately, which most people don't do, you can find it in there, that covetousness is not good. But coveting the best gifts, according to the Apostle Paul, is a good thing. So those gifts are distributed by the Holy Spirit. So sometimes we want the gifting that somebody else has, and we really want that gifting, but somehow it never comes to us. And maybe some of the things Ellie talked about have to bear with that, because maybe we don't have the right motives in our heart for having a gifting, you know, because God is pure and God is holy, and he's the one who gets to determine who gets what gifts and how they're manifested in the lives of people. So while we're supposed to desire, earnestly desire those giftings, we're not the determining factor as to which ones we get. Now, sometimes people ask, what is the best gift? If I'm supposed to desire the best gift, which one is that? Well, the best one is the one you need right now. Amen? When you're ministering to somebody, the best gift is the gift that you need right now to minister to that person. Or if you're dealing with an issue in your own personal life, the best gift is the one you need right now. Amen? So there's nothing wrong with wanting and desiring those gifts to manifest in your life. In fact, we are urged and we are commanded to do that. Praise the Lord. So, but this verse says that God bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles. So if that's how he bears witness or gives witness or attests to us the things of the Holy Spirit, then we should be able to recognize those signs and wonders and miracles as being valid, as something from God, or as not being authentic or being counterfeit, and perhaps even something from the devil. Now, sometimes people say, well, you know, the devil, he doesn't have much power. He can't do this and he can't do that. But I've got news for you. If you've traveled in some countries where they worship the devil, where they worship demon gods, you can see some signs and wonders. And some of them will scare you, and some of them will leave you in wonder, because you maybe haven't seen anything like that before. But when you begin to see that, you recognize that there are two sides to power. One is the dark side, and one is the side of God, where there is light and where there's life and where there is the presence of the Holy Spirit. So even though there can be counterfeit things, you know, we're supposed to be discerning and figure out, you know, which is which and how we should maneuver and how we should operate on the right side. Amen? Praise the Lord. So the question is, you know, what do you do when the move of the Holy Spirit doesn't look the way you expect it to look? Because that's happened over history, that, you know, the Holy Spirit shows up and people don't recognize this is the Holy Spirit. In fact, it even happened to Jesus. So the problem is not a new one. It's an issue as old as the New Testament, and probably the Old Testament as well. So look with me at Mark chapter 6. And I'll give you an example of that in the life of Jesus. Mark chapter 6, the first verse, says, "He went out from there to his own country, and his disciples followed him." You know, that's a good way to be a disciple, right? Is to follow Jesus. Anybody in the room? Good morning. Wake up and smell the coffee. We're supposed to be disciples of Jesus, right? Yes. And what is the definition of a disciple? Number two.
Making disciples.
How about being changed by Jesus? Yeah. Follow Jesus, be changed by Jesus.
What's number three?
Be on mission with Jesus.
Be on mission with Jesus. Okay, some of you have been paying attention. Okay. Follow Jesus.
Be changed by Jesus.
Be on mission with Jesus. Okay. All right, well, it's important to define what a disciple is, because a lot of people have a lot of different ideas of what that might be, what that might look like. So his disciples followed him. It says in verse 2, "And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue." Now, this was his own country. Presumably, this is speaking about Nazareth, because several other gospels confirm that. And it says that many, hearing him, were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him? And such mighty works are performed by his hands." So probably those things would qualify as signs and wonders, right? They're saying, "I wonder where this wisdom came from. I wonder about how he got this wisdom. I wonder why it's given to him. I wonder about the mighty works performed at his by his hands." And then it says, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? So these people, they're all familiar with Jesus. They knew him since he was a kid, right? "And are not his sisters here with us?" So Jesus had brothers and sisters. Some of them are named there. And so they were what? What? Now, if you just saw signs, wonders, and miracles, why would you be? Anybody in the room? Offended when the greatest man who ever walked the face of the earth, with the greatest miracles ever recorded in history, was there teaching you and ministering to you, and you're sitting there getting offended. Wow. But Jesus said to them, verse 4, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own relatives and in his own house." I suppose some of you can relate to that. Because sometimes the hardest ones are the ones you love the most and care about the most. Now, look at verse 5. "Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching." That's a really, really interesting scripture, because Jesus reveals one of the things that really stops the move of the Holy Spirit. It's unbelief. And you could add offense. So you can be in a perfectly good place with a very good minister, ministering very good things, and be offended. Or be in unbelief. And instead of being in the move of the Holy Spirit, you can be stopping the move of the Holy Spirit with your unbelief and your offense. So that's why it's so important for us to recognize when something is from God and when something isn't from God. Because as I said before, there's a lot of things that we can access, especially in our time. You can go on the internet 24/7, 365, and you can find some kind of ministry somewhere. Amen? And so it's important for us to recognize the authentic and to know how to recognize the authentic. So, but just before we go on, let's look at what Jesus' solution to the problem was. So here's how Jesus addressed this problem of people being offended and having unbelief. He addressed it by verse 6. It says, then he went about in the villages in a circuit teaching. So the way to address unbelief and offense is to teach people, to minister to them. So instead of him getting offended because they were offended, he decided to take the love walk and begin to teach people. Because he recognized what the problem was. The problem was these people are in offense. The problem was these people, maybe they're too familiar with me. Which can happen with ministers and ministries and people's ministries. And well, I know her, I know him, I know them. I know what they were like. I know just, you know, I grew up with them and this and that and the other thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when you begin to receive teaching on offense and you learn how to put offense out of your life, then it's not you can check that box now. It's be careful because it can come back. Offense has divided more churches, destroyed more ministries, destroyed more families, destroyed more things, more workplaces than any other kind of thing on the face of the earth. And the reason that the devil keeps using it is because it works really well. Envy and strife brings confusion and every other kind of evil work. And when that's going on in a place, it stops the move of God. So that's why we're supposed to, as children of God, love one another. And that's why Jesus said, the world outside there is going to know you as my disciples because you love one another. You have to love me even if you don't like me. You have to love me even if I'm unlovable. You have to love me with the good, bad, and the ugly. Amen? Because that's how the world knows that we're really followers of Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and are on mission with Jesus, right? So the world isn't so dumb. You know, when they look in the church and they say there's a bunch of hypocrites over there, and I'm not going to go there, you know, they figured something out. They figured out that people don't live what they say they believe. They figured out that sometimes Christians fail and fall. Now, it's maybe not a fair assessment of the church, but it's a truth that should be recognizable when certain things are going on. Amen? Praise the Lord. We can't afford to have envy and strife. Okay, so problems arise when people start copying methods without true revelation. So I'm throwing that in here because a lot of times the places where there's counterfeit is people that genuinely love God. They want to follow after God, but they're just copying methods. Now, there's examples of that in the Bible. One of them with the sons of Sceva. You remember that from Acts chapter? I don't remember what chapter it's from now, sorry. But it's in the book of Acts. It's about the sons of Sceva. And they were, the Bible says, itinerant priests that were going out casting out devils. Maybe it's not in the book of Acts. It's in the Gospels, right? Where was it? Anyway, it's in there. It's in the Bible. These guys, they were casting out devils. It must be in the book of Acts because it's talking about Paul, right? and says that they came across some demons that they couldn't cast out. And in fact, these demons beat them up, stripped them naked, and left them running out in the streets, streaking, I guess, because they said, we understand the name of Jesus, and we understand the Jesus that Paul preached, but who are you? All right. So the problem wasn't that they were doing bad things. If they were casting out devils, how many would agree that that's a good thing? People were being set free. And it must have been working for them pretty well until they met this one. And then it didn't work anymore. So that's how copying methods, you know, you can copy the method and it may work to some degree. But at some point, you have to have your own revelation of the Holy Spirit. You have to have your own revelation of God to go on. You have to have your own revelation from the Word of God to minister so that it will work for you in the way that God wants it to work for you. Another problem is that a lot of times people, if something works for them, they work it to death. In other words, I ministered to this certain person and they got healed, so I'm going to minister to the next person that has that same thing the same way, and they'll get healed too. And then they get to that person and it doesn't work. And then they're broken and they're saying, God, why didn't that work? Why didn't you honor that? Well, could it be that maybe he didn't tell you to do it that way? Because even Jesus didn't do, I mean, some things he did maybe several times or did the same thing. Or the same way, but he didn't always do it the same way. With the demon possessed, he didn't always deal with them the same way. Sometimes he just said, come out. Sometimes on one occasion, he had a conversation with the demon, but that's the only place that's recorded that he did. And yet today we'll have people that want to carry on conversations with demons and ask them their names and all of those other kinds of things. I'm not saying that it won't work for you, but I'm saying Jesus only did it once, so it's hardly enough to say that you should do it all the time. And the reason is because demons are liars. And they report to their father, the father of lies. And you have a conversation with them, they probably tell you some lies and lead you astray. They might say, we're a legion, and it might be one little squeaky pipsqueak demon. Or they might say, I'm not in here. Yes, you are in there. I can see you. I can feel you. I can hear you. You're in there. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the problem becomes is that when something works for us, we think, I got that. I can do that now. And as Ellie reminded you before, it's not you in the first place. It's Jesus, and it's the Holy Spirit. So you better follow him and do what he says to do. The Bible says that Jesus, the rule that Jesus followed was this. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. Now, part of that is, how are you personally going to discern the Holy Spirit moving in your life? Praise the Lord. Because if you can determine that, then you can be on track. Amen? Does that make sense to you? Okay, so the problems arise when people copy methods without true revelation. So how can you know when something is really an outpouring of the Holy Spirit? I don't like to say revival so much because revival can mean a meeting. A revival can mean I'm conducting a meeting. And I hope Jesus shows up. I hope the Holy Spirit shows up. And I'm calling it a revival. I know we walk by faith and we not by sight. And many times churches do need to be revived. I mean, if you're dead, you need to be revived. You need to come to life. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I don't disagree with the term. It's just not necessarily in the Bible in that way, but I prefer the term outpouring of the Holy Spirit because I think it better describes what's going on when there's a move of the Spirit. So how can you know when it really is an outpouring? Well, it's like this, like the clerk in the store When somebody's passing counterfeit bills, counterfeit hundreds or counterfeit 20s, how does the clerk in the store determine, you know, whether the bill is counterfeit or authentic? Well, the way they do it is they look up. What are they looking for? Well, they're familiar with what the authentic looks like, and if you know what the authentic looks like, you'll spot a counterfeit every time. So what they're looking for is they're looking for the marks, they're looking for the certain things that all authentic bills carry, and they're making their judgment based on what they see and know is authentic. So that's the way that you can determine whether a move of the Spirit, an outpouring, is authentic, is if you really know the Holy Spirit really well, right? And you know how he moves, how he speaks, how he talks, how he walks, how he works through people, how his gifts work, how the gifts and ministries of the Holy Spirit are manifested through people. You know, Paul, when he talks about gifts and ministries of the Holy Spirit, he said there are differences of ministries and there are differences of administrations. So he's recognizing that not every person is going to minister the gift of the Holy Spirit that they have in the same way. There are differences, but he said it's the same Spirit. Right. Yeah. So what he's saying is that you have to recognize that when the Holy Spirit is authentic, you can recognize him. And when it's not an authentic, when somebody's speaking out of their own spirit or maybe trying to draw attention to themselves or hoping they can be the great minister or hoping, you know, something will happen because they copied this method or something like that, that you can spot that's not authentic, that's not the Holy Spirit. So that doesn't make people bad. You know, people can sincerely want to move with God, move with the Holy Spirit, and, you know, we're all at different levels of maturity. You know, hopefully we're all growing in the things of God. Amen? That Jesus is really changing us, and, you know, that we get it right more times than we get it wrong. Amen? And we can give grace to each other. You know, we're not beating people up because you made a mistake or you didn't recognize something or you didn't see something coming. You got blindsided or something like that. It's okay. Get back up. Amen. If you fall down, get up and repent and just go on. And just say, you know, I just learned something there. So God is good. He's gracious. He's forgiving. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants you to mature. He wants you to grow up. You know, when my kids were 3 years old, they did some stuff that I put up with. But if they're 13 and they're still doing what three-year-olds do, you know, I get a little bit upset. Because I expect more of the 13-year-old than I do the three-year-old, right? So we have grandkids, you know, we have a lot of them, 18 of them, that are here on this earth. And, you know, they range in ages from, youngest one is just 2, and the oldest one is like 20. So we got a big range. So when the older ones start acting like the younger ones, there's a big problem. Amen? And sometimes it happens, you know. But that's part of the growing up process. You know, people need correction, they need discipline, and we as believers need the same kind of correction and discipline. Amen? So if we're doing something that's not right, we should be called out. I mean, not in a bad and ugly way, but if we need correction, we need correction. Amen? If we need direction, we need direction. That's what being a disciple of Jesus is all about. Jesus didn't mince words with his disciples. You know, when they were going to call fire down on a couple of villages, he said, "No, we don't do it that way." Yeah, but they turned you away. Well, yeah, but you can call fire down, but not this time. It's not time to call fire down on these villages. Just have mercy on them today. We're forgiving them today. We're loving them today. Amen? Okay, so yeah, but we read that Elijah called fire down, you know, on those people and burned up those soldiers. Yeah, I know that's exactly right. It's in the Bible, but we're not doing that today. Amen? So if Jesus can correct his disciples, you know, you as a disciple can receive correction and grow from it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So when Peter and John grew up, they weren't calling fire down on people anymore. They just walked with Jesus and healed the sick. Amen? Praise the Lord. So Jesus and the promise of the Spirit. It's a promise that's still unfolding today. The Holy Spirit has been promised to the church, to the believer. These signs that shall follow those that believe, they shall speak with new tongues, they'll cast out devils. Actually, it says first, they'll cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, they will lay hands on the sick. If they drink anything deadly, any poison, it won't hurt them. They can pick up snakes. I mean, all of that stuff. We don't have a box of snakes back here. We're okay. Praise the Lord. We're not testing that one today. But there is a move of the Spirit today, and it's a great one. And it needs to be a great one, because look where the world is right today. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit more than any other generation ever needed the Holy Spirit. There are more people on the face of the earth. There are more lost people on the face of the earth. There are more people that are sick on the face of the earth than any time in history. So we need the Holy Spirit, and we need a move of the Holy Spirit, an outpouring. So this is how Jesus spoke about that outpouring in verse 37 of John chapter 7. He said, on the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So this is Jesus' prediction of what will happen when somebody gets filled with the Spirit. Out of their inner being, innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. So one of the first parts of looking for authenticity of the Holy Spirit is this bringing life to people? Is this a wellspring of life for people? Is it really living water to people? Or is it somebody just drawing attention to themselves? Or is it counterfeit signs and wonders, you know? You can get healed at some rock concerts. You can get healed in a seance in some, you know, some place where they're doing some demonic stuff. I don't know if it will last. I don't know, you know, I don't pretend to be the expert on all of those kind of things, but it does happen. So just because there's signs and wonders doesn't mean something is from God. You know, Americans are really gullible people. The church in the West is really gullible, because a lot of times they don't discern the demonic and dark side from the side of light and where God is. And so there's stuff out there. So Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit is there, rivers of living water will flow. So life is going to flow from a person that's motivated and moved by the Holy Spirit and used by the Holy Spirit. So that's the first, one of the first authentic indicators to look at. So let's go to the book and see how Jesus is authentic. So this is the same kind of the story that I just read to you from Mark, only from the book of Luke. It says that Jesus, this is Luke 4:14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report went out from him surrounding country. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Then he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. So Jesus had the custom of when worship service was on, he was there. Contrary to a lot of believers today, Jesus was faithful to the house of worship. Okay, so then it says, and the scroll of prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So there you see some things about the authenticity of the Holy Spirit operating in the life of the person. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and this is what you'll see flowing from me. You'll see good news coming to the poor. You'll see liberty coming to the captives. You'll see recovering of sight to the blind. You'll see liberty received by those who are oppressed. And you'll see the Jubilee year proclaimed. In other words, that's a year of return when people get restoration. You'll see restoration happen. So those are marks of authenticity that you can make a decision about the ministry that's coming forth. Is this kind of ministry, is this what's happening? Is this the fruit of this kind of ministry? Because this is how Jesus is describing it should look when the Holy Spirit has anointed someone, who the Holy Spirit has come upon someone. And then verse 20 says, he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all of the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So what he's saying is that you don't have to wait for this, and you don't have to, you know, this is not on delay. This is today, not tomorrow. Hoy no mañana. It's just here. It's now. It's today. Amen. Praise the Lord. So a person that's ministering in the Holy Spirit, it's a today thing. It's a now thing. It's a not going to be someday, some kind of thing. I hope it'll work for you somewhere, somehow, some way. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's take a look. I want to show you, as we close, I want to show you six facets of character that were prophesied by Isaiah. It's not Isaiah Salvador, but Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, Isaiah says in Isaiah 11:2. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. So in that little short verse, Isaiah 11:2, there are six facets of the Holy Spirit's character. So if you want to recognize the Holy Spirit when he shows up, you should look for these facets of his character. The first is that he's the Spirit of wisdom, and he's revealing to us his future purposes, both for ourselves and for his kingdom, because he is the Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom has to do with future, because the Holy Spirit knows the future. He knows your future. He knows the future of every person. So when the Spirit of wisdom is operating, there's a revelation of the future. It's like a prophetic nature of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you go to a prophetic conference or something like that, you're hopeful that the minister is moving in true prophetic from the Holy Spirit, and that those things that are coming forth, especially when it's a word of wisdom, that it's something that's really from God. Because sometimes people prophesy stuff over you that, you know, isn't from God, and then you try to follow that, and then you smash into the wall, and some pastor somewhere has to pick up the pieces because, you know, you've been broken and whatever, and they said, well, the prophet said whatever. So, I mean, it happens to people all the time. You know, we counsel people. We have people come to us all the time with brokenness because some prophetic thing didn't happen for them. You know, sometimes it's not the fault of the person who's prophesying. Sometimes it's something that's in that person's life that has prevented them from receiving, you know, the good thing that was prophesied over them. But so there can be a lot of reasons for that. But one of them can be it might not have been from God. You know, because people can speak out of their own spirit. One of the biggest problems with the prophetic is that God can give us a couple of words of prophecy, and then we keep going. You know, we keep going because we feel like we have to keep going. You know, I've been in some places ministering where the pastor has asked us to minister to leaders and to prophesy over them. And, you know, if you're ministering to 50, 60 pastors, and, you know, pretty soon you get tired, and, you know, you're digging for things. So you have to know when the Holy Spirit is done and when you're done. Because if you keep going, you're going to be prophesying stuff over them that isn't from God. Amen. So the Spirit of wisdom. You know, we've been praying the Ephesians prayers as we're learning in our cell groups. Ephesians 1:17, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in saints? What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who are to believe? It's all speaking about the power of the Holy Spirit coming into the life of a person. So when we're asking you to pray that over yourself and pray that over others, you're inviting the Holy Spirit to manifest himself inside of you in those ways so that the spirit of wisdom and revelation rests on you or gets inside of you and flows out of you. Amen? That's the goal for doing that. We're not just doing that because, you know, it seems like a good idea. But it is a good idea because you want the Holy Spirit moving into you, to you, through you, to others. Amen? Praise the Lord. The second is similar to the same scripture applies. The second is He is the Spirit of understanding. He gives us revelation about our present situation and how best to be fruitful in it. Isn't that important? So I'm talking to you about this is what the authentic looks like. The authentic is that the Holy Spirit should be showing you things in your own life that will bring you to a place of more fruitfulness, more maturity, that will bring blessing to yourself and to the others around you. Amen? So part of that's a growing up a process, and some we need each other. We need each other to speak honestly to each other. You know, if we see some brother or sister that's going astray, we should call them back and say, hey, you know, I love you, but this is not right. I want good things for you. This isn't right. You're going the wrong direction. You're stepping outside. You know, the Bible says don't have an appearance of evil. But, you know, this is not looking good. This is just not looking good in your life. And I want to help you. So we ought to be able to take corrections like that and so forth. But that's what this is about. The second thing is the spirit of understanding. The third thing is He's the spirit of counsel. He's instructing us in solving hard problems by discerning the root causes. You know, if you don't know what's causing something in your life, you can go on doing the same things and just being messed up all the time and having a hard time and just, you know, being sometimes angry and sometimes offended and sometimes hurt just because you're not seeing it. I'm not seeing this. And I can't get to the root of this. I can't get to the bottom of this. But that's where the Holy Spirit can really, really help you. That's where the Holy Spirit can really, really bring blessing in your life. He is the spirit of counsel. He is instructing us in solving hard problems and discerning root causes. John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said that when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. You know, what we need in our lives is truth. We don't need any more lies. I mean, there's plenty of lies out there around us. We don't need any more of that. We need truth in our life. We need the Holy Spirit to be speaking truth in our life. We need the people around us to speak truth in our life. I'm talking about recognizing the authentic and instead of the counterfeit. He says, but whatever He hears, He will speak. Well, where is He going to hear it? He's going to hear it from the Father, and He's going to hear it from Jesus. He's going to speak that into your life. Amen? And He will declare you the things, He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me. This is an important thing. Is the thing that you're receiving, the thing that this one person is speaking over you, is this bringing glory to Jesus or bringing glory to somebody else? I mean, check it out. I mean, this is recognizing the authentic. So, you know, I'm not against doing things in excellence or having, you know, really a ministry of excellence. And we all need to grow in our excellence. But sometimes things are a show. Sometimes things are entertainment. Sometimes worship is supposed to be worship and it's entertainment. But you know, you can't be just critical of everybody and be the religious police, but you can be discerning. You know, if something's not right, if something's, as they say, rotten in Denmark, you know, and you're getting these whiffs of something that's not right, it's the Holy Spirit trying to lead you in the right direction. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the fourth thing is He's the spirit of might. He's strengthening us with power in our inner man, anointing us with His spiritual gifts. I think it's in Colossians chapter 1 where it says that Paul is praying for the people that they would be strengthened with might by His spirit in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith, that they would be rooted and grounded in love and be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and breadth and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Amen? So He wants to be the spirit of might for you, for every one of you. and to strengthen you with power in the inner person, in an inner man, and anoint you with his spiritual gifts. Praise the Lord. Number five, he is the spirit of knowledge. So he is revealing to us the various attributes of Jesus in the Word of God. He's revealing the Word to you. He's taken the Word. He's given you revelation about it. He is the spirit of knowledge. And, sometimes we talk about the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is knowing something by the Spirit of God in a person's life that would help to minister to them, would help to bring them along, would help to identify some things, or would help to them to recognize that, God is in this place. He's in the room. And he's talking to you right now. This is you. This is what he's saying. Is it right? Yes, it's right. So it's a confirmation of the Holy Spirit is there. It's a recognition of the authenticity of the Holy Spirit. So John chapter 16, verse 8, it says, when he comes, this is the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he'll convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. How about that? Concerning sin, because they don't believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to my Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. This isn't my idea of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. Now, that might make you feel uncomfortable and you might not like it, but just think about it. In the early church, when somebody stood up and lied, Peter said, "You lied not to us, you lied to the Holy Spirit," and that person dropped dead. I don't see many people copying that nowadays, but, it's time to get real with God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because we're in the end times. And then finally, the last thing, the sixth thing is, he is the spirit of the fear of the Lord, showing us areas of our lives where sin has a foothold, and then changing us into the image of Christ. So it's what we're talking about when we talk to you about discipleship, following Jesus, being changed by Jesus. Amen? Being changed by Jesus, you're not going to be changed by Jesus if you don't recognize there's something wrong. Amen? So if you recognize something wrong, or somebody's speaking to you about something that's wrong, and you're looking into it, and you say, yep, that's right, that's me. I'm struggling with that. Well, that's the place to start the change. Amen? Praise the Lord. And then he's changing us into the image of Christ. Isn't that our goal? To be more like him. I hope so. Amen. If we're following him, we want to be like him, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. So none of us does that perfectly, and I'm not holding us up as an example and just saying, this is where we're going. This is where we should be going. This is where the Holy Spirit is directing the church. And when this, as this happens, the Bible says Jesus is coming for a glorious church without spot and wrinkle. So sometimes that's hard to imagine because, we see all the stuff, but that's what the Bible says. So, I'm hopeful. I want to be one of those persons that, goes with him without spot and wrinkle. I want to be in that group. Amen? Praise the Lord. So 1 Peter chapter 3, this is the last scripture I'm giving you. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm sorry, verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Look at that. It's kind of in our face, isn't it? But as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Not half of it, not a tenth of it. You're not just tithing your conduct. I'll be 10% good this week, right? because God only requires a tithe. Since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on him as the Father who judges impartially according to one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile. So the Bible says we're strangers and exiles here on earth. And that's till Jesus comes back and takes us home. Amen? So while we're here, we should judge ourselves and be holy as he is holy. Knowing that you were ransomed from futile ways you inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. He paid everything for you. He paid the price so that you could live in righteousness and holiness, so that you could be perfected, so that you could be walking with Him, be changed by Him, be on mission with Him. Amen? So, like a lamb without blemish or spot, He's our example. Amen? Praise the Lord. So Jesus perfectly portrayed all of those characteristics. And when we want to recognize the authenticity of the Holy Spirit, all we need to do is look at Jesus. Just keep looking at Jesus. He's the author, the developer of our faith. Amen? And then we can run the race that's before us because we're looking to Jesus. And when we get our eyes off of Jesus, what happens? Well, the same thing that happened to Peter when he jumped over the edge of the boat and started walking towards Jesus. He got his eyes off of Jesus on the waves. He started to sink, right? That's exactly what happens to us. So, thankfully, Jesus is there with his hand out and say, I'm going to save you again. Amen? So, let's follow him with all our heart, all our soul, with all our strength. So, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you today with these six attributes, and you will walk like Jesus walked. Praise the Lord. Not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.